You want to know the answer? I don't know. Here's something I don't know, I can't understand, I can't explain. I'm asking because I'm looking for the answer. In verse 7, you seek for things that you have not already found, and you knock to enter a place where you are not already. When we pray to God, what Jesus wants us to do in terms of asking beautiful questions is we need to learn to lay things at His feet that are bigger than us. Ask Him things that are beyond you, things that you cannot control. Are there any things in your life you cannot control? Are there things you cannot explain? Are there things you cannot fix? The worst thing you could do is carry that junk around with you all the time. It's the worst thing you could do. There's things I can't fix. There's things I can't change. There's things I can't control. And I just carry that junk around and fight it all the time. Jesus said, stop doing that. If you don't know, you ask. If you can't find it, you seek Him. If you want entrance, you knock. And he goes on to explain this with reference to children. He said, what man is there among you who when his son asks for a loaf will give him a stone? So in other words, if you learn to go into the throne room of God and ask Him for things bigger than yourself, what is going to happen? What will happen? Big things. Unbelievable. He made the universe. He's pretty good at stuff. You will receive God's answer. He will not give you something that hurts you when you've asked for something that helped you. He will not give you a stone when you've asked for a loaf. He will not give you a snake when you've asked for a fish. Why did the boy go to the man? Because the boy was hungry and he couldn't feed himself. Because he needed sustenance. He didn't have access to it. So he goes to his father who can provide all of that. And he asks his father for food. Father is, first of all, he's not going to give him something bad when he asks for something good. This concept that God is going to give you something different in a way that's going to go against goodwill for you, never. God will always do that. But what I really hang my hat on is verse 8. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. I've got a guarantee for you. Two guarantees. If your prayer life is flippant, passive, non-emotional, 7 seconds long, and easily interrupted, God will give you nothing. God will reward that. That's James 1. James 1 says, if you pray with any sense of doubting, if you pray without a sense of honor, if you pray without a sense of reverence, you're not going to get anything for that. It's going to be a complete waste of time. And then guess what people do? This is the really neat part, you know. If I don't learn how to pray well, and I don't have emotional prayer lives, and I'm not engrossed in the presence of God, and I ask Him for something flippantly, and He doesn't give it to me, guess who I blame for that? Who do I blame because I didn't get what I asked for? I'm going to blame God for that. God, I asked you, you didn't give me anything. I pleaded and you didn't. And God's saying, you stopped at a red light for 5 seconds and threw something at me and drove off. I don't answer prayers like that. You know the kind of prayers God answers? Prayers where you are so overwhelmed when you begin to address Him, you can barely even pull yourself together. You can hear the sounds of heaven, and when you start asking Him things, you are asking Him really big things. What makes a question beautiful? A question is beautiful when it is asked with a genuine desire to gain what I do not have. Man, we got to quit hedging our bets when we pray. I shouldn't use gambling terms while preaching. I apologize. We got to quit doing that. You know how you ever find yourself praying and you're asking God for things that you're already 99% sure you're going to get anyway? You ever find yourself doing that? Or maybe you ask God for something that you already got. Like you got here safely. God, you know, get me here safely. And you're like about to pull into the driveway after a 4-hour trip or something. Why do you think we limit the things we request of God to things we're almost already sure we're going to get? Anybody know why we do that? We do that because we do not understand the power of our God. We ask Him for things we basically already have. Why am I doing that? I already have that. I should be asking Him for things that I don't already have, things that I cannot achieve, things that I've been searching for my whole life, looking for, begging for, and chasing, sometimes in the stupidest places. I just can't find it. I can't find happiness. I can't find peace. I can't find purpose. I can't find friends. I can't find a future. I've been looking everywhere. I can't find it. When we talk about entering the throne room of God, we talk about asking Him for things that I admit, God, I'm tired of trying to find it. I can't. I'm asking You. We're afraid to ask God. You know what I think it is? I think that sometimes we're afraid to ask God for something big because we think that if He doesn't give it to us, now we're going to start doubting Him and questioning Him. I'm just here to tell you that every request you make in faith, God will answer in some fashion for your good. And I believe that with 100% absolute certainty. We started praying a little different back home, guys. I imagine you guys do too. We don't pray for people to feel a little better or get over the hump. We pray for complete healing at the Lindale Church. We pray for absolute healing. We pray for total change. We pray for marriages to end up better than they've ever been before. We don't pray to get by, because you're probably going to get by. You know, why am I praying for things that are probably nature's going to provide? I'm praying for things that nature cannot provide, things that are bigger and bolder. Ask with the intent, by the way, of using the answer for my growth. Can you imagine this boy waking up his father and saying, "Dad, I know you were sleeping, but I'm really hungry." I mean, if you're a parent, you don't have to imagine that. That's about 1:30, half the mornings. But anyway, they get you up and they say, I'm really hungry. And you get up and you make them the food and you give it to your kids and they say, okay, and they dump it in the garbage and go to bed. What in the world? They had the courage to ask. They wanted to know, but then when you give it to them, they're like, I don't really want that. I'm going to move on to something else. Let me tell you what beautiful questions are with reference to the God of heaven. Beautiful questions are when you ask for things you don't have, you ask Him to give you things you cannot find, and if by the grace of God He would provide them to you, you will use them. You're going to get in that. When we get in this journal, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. Every day we pray this way, we ask God for it, and we're going to use it when we get it. We've got to be people who do that. How many people have prayed for wisdom? You ever prayed for wisdom before? Reagan has. Still praying, old Reagan, for wisdom. Keep going, brother. Praying for wisdom. And then, like, the next Sunday, it's praying for wisdom, man. Next Sunday, Reagan just calls you in his office, sits down, starts talking to you about the Bible. God's saying, there you go. And you walk out. I'm not going to use an example. That's not nice. But you walk out and you just totally disregard what you were told. How many times do we pray for things, answers? God, give me direction. Give me instruction. Give me help. And then God's like, there. And we're like, nah. And we just walk away. Beautiful questions are when we enter that throne room and we're begging for any answer He can give. And when He gives it, we are determined to use it. Now, I'm going to talk to you about how this works. Okay, you got your journal out? This is the Excel Still More 3-month journal, and you got one here that you get to keep. And your tab should open you up to what would be today, Thursday. Here's the way it works. There are 7 entries for every week, obviously. Starts on Sunday and goes through Saturday. There's a little something at the beginning of each week, which we'll talk about on Saturday, actually. But what I've got you at where that tab is Thursday. So if you don't already have it in the top left-hand corner, you need to write down, what's today, the 8th? Is it August the 8th? You need to write down August 8th, Thursday, right there at the top. You got your pencil? That's today. Now, we're a little late in the game. This is really good to do in the morning. Let God do His work all day. But we start when we started, and we started in the evening. So you're going to write down the date, 8-8. You're going to write down Thursday, and if you want to write down the time, it's something fuzzy, 7:30. You write down 7:30 p.m. right there. Now, all I want you focused on tonight, the only thing I want you focused on is the left side of that page. We're going to talk about the right side of the page tomorrow night. We're going to fill in some of the details around it when we come together on Saturday. But I want you to focus on the left side of that page, and especially that second box. So here's how it would normally work out, because I'm going to ask you to do it in the morning. So listen carefully to this. What you would begin with is just writing down, don't do it now, but you just write down some things that happened yesterday, things that were interesting, things that were spiritual, things you remembered, things you liked. Just kind of, this is some journaling about yesterday. And so tomorrow morning, when you do the next page, tomorrow morning, that's when you'll write in, you know, some of the stuff that happened today, right? So you're going to write that in. Now, the second one says, ask beautiful questions. What if, I just want you to imagine this, I've been doing this for 4 months, 7 days a week, for 4 months straight. What if every morning or every day of your life, before you did anything else, you put the cell phone away, you left the TV off, you sat in a quiet place, you opened up the journal, you closed your eyes, you heard the sounds, you felt the air, you opened your eyes and you saw the Son of God and you just started asking. Asking beautiful questions. I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. I warn you, I may come around and say, what'd you write down over there? Okay, I warned you ahead of time, okay? But I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. I know that you guys don't like to speak out loud, so instead I'll get you to write it down. I'll grab your book and I'll say, well, here's what Elias said. I want you to write down, if you were in that moment right now, and you were going to ask God for things bigger than you, beyond you, and in your future, I want you to write down at least one thing you would ask God. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to write that down. Ask God a beautiful question. Put it in the form of a question, and then we're going to come around and we're going to talk about it a little bit. If it's too personal and you don't want to read it out loud, tough. Ask Him something big. I'm going to read one of my entries in a minute. I'm going to start and go first, okay? But first, I need you to think about it. You need a pencil? All right, man needs a pencil. No problem. There you go. What? All right, ask beautiful questions. You get it? All right. Pencil, anybody? You just want me to throw stuff. There. All right. Ask a question. Put it in the form of a question. Ask Him something. Yeah. What's that? Somebody has Summer's journal. That's awesome. If you do, we'll ask you to turn back and start reading out loud in a minute. We put hers in the box somewhere. We'll figure it out later. All right. You got a minute. I want you to think. I'll tell you what, while you're doing that, I'm going to walk around to some of these, what do we call them? Like old people? Okay. And I'm going to ask them, what is something you would ask God if you, like John, were called up into that moment? I want to know what's something you could see yourself asking God. Reagan, what would you ask God in that moment? Beautiful. Is that a beautiful prayer? That's a beautiful question. What else? Rick, what do you think? Say again. Why do I merit your attention? Okay, that's interesting. That's deep. I knew you were going to say something deep as soon as I said your name. Anybody else? What would you ask him? I haven't heard anybody ask the question that I thought was going to come up first yet. The comment I thought, that's beautifully said. What do you think? Ken? Do I have to go back? You know, that's interesting Ken said that because I think about that a lot. And what I write is, what can I do back home to make sure we get to come back? What can I do to make sure this is where we're going? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to change? All right, over here, let me get some help from some. You just wait, young man. I know you're there for me, though, and I appreciate that. What do you ask God? What's your beautiful question of God? Over here. Older people. You always say Never say old. Always say older. What do we got? You ask him anything you want. What are you going to ask? Does this feel weird and difficult? If this feels weird and difficult to you, that is the reason God has sent me here this week. This needs to become so easy, so obvious, so often, that you're just going big with God all day long, asking Him about things. It's not going to be easy at first. It gets easier all the time. Let me read my entry here from yesterday, I think. This is the one I start with a lot. I may stand alone on this, but I don't think I do. Will you please forgive me? Will you receive me? Will you save me? Help me see you. Help me know you all the time. Will you extend your power into my life? Will you help me tell others about this incredible glory? Will you guide me and my family? This is where I was with Ken. Will you guide me and my family back here to you forever? Please fully heal Kristen Allen of her cancer. Please heal Cal and Jan Jones. Please take the pain out of the life of every child of yours, every servant of your son. Forgive me, Father, and help me. I believe he can do all of that. You know what's interesting about all those questions? I believe he can do all of that. I believe I can do none of that. I can't do anything I just asked. I can't answer any of those questions. I believe he can answer them all. All right, let's see how we did. Let's have some beautiful questions. You're going to try this a little bit tonight, and then what I want you to do in the morning, all you have to do when you get up in the morning, just for a couple minutes, is the left side, which includes a couple things that happened yesterday and a little Bible study. I'll talk about that in a minute, a little Bible study. But I want to know what you wrote down. Give me some questions. What have you asked God? Go. How big is the universe? How big is the universe? God's like, remember last year in the moon and the... Okay. What do you got? Can I hug you? I'll hug you later. What do I do to make you want to help me? That's beautiful. What else? Yes? What can I do today? Good. You're going to notice you're going to be praying about three things. You're going to pray for things that you want God to do for you. You're going to pray for strength to do things for God. Or you're going to pray for other people. That's pretty much life, by the way. It's him, you, or others all the time. So in that sense, you're praying about what you can do for God. What do you got? Okay. Why did he give us the opportunity to be here? What do you got? Why did you make the earth? Yeah. Awesome question. Why not just start over instead of sending Jesus? Let's get some ladies in on this. What do you got? I can read it? All right. What do you know? Legible penmanship. Would you clear my head of negative and false thoughts? That's a beautiful question. I believe God has the power to do that. What if she asked for God to help her clear her mind, think on the right things, but she doesn't really believe God does stuff like that? You know, that's just stuff we pray about. God doesn't really, like, control the way you think and feel. What if she prayed for God to help her thinking, and yet she didn't really believe God would help her thinking? What does James, go to James 1, what does the book of James say about prayers like that? This is where this gets really tough. What does James say about prayers like that? Look at the text. James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Beautiful question, well asked. But if any of you lacks wisdom... That's all of us. Think about this list. Things I don't have, things I don't know. Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you doubt that God will help you, that is what we call self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy means something is true because you made it true by the way that you did it. And when you don't believe God will help you, God will not help you. And that's where the throne scene is so valuable. I'm just going to tell you that if you will try this on your own, let me back this up. If you will put yourself in this place, you will hear it, see it, and feel it. Nothing about God will be impossible. Everything is possible for a God of that kind of majesty. A God with that kind of control, where even the nature around us praises his name. There's nothing you can ask that he cannot answer. And we will begin asking him more and more things, bigger and more beautiful things. I want to show you something interesting here before we move on. If you go back to Matthew 7, you ever wonder like what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 7 when he's saying, ask and you'll receive and seek and you'll find and knock and it will be open to you. I mean, what's that like? Like, how many of you guys want a really cool car? Like a big truck, car, truck, truck guy. Well, there it is, you know, it says right there, you ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. Just walk outside and start looking around the yard, man. Is that what this is about? Is this about any whim or anything that I want? Well, what you have to do is you have to look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Who remembers what's going on in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? You better remember what we call this. What do we call it? Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is preaching about who can be a disciple. And he preaches a lot of really hard things. Things like, don't ever worry about anything. And maybe that one's easy for you. That's not easy for me. Don't worry about anything. Don't get burdened by anything. He talks about turning the other cheek. He talks about always telling the truth. He talks about righteousness. I find those things really hard. And so when he says in Matthew chapter 7, when he says, look, when he says, don't judge people hypocritically, then he goes on to say, ask and seek and knock. You know what I'm asking for? I'm asking for strength to do what's right. God, I don't know. Anybody else been there? I know you told me not to worry, but I'm broken. I know you told me that it would all work out, but I don't know that it will. I know you told me not to be stressed out, but I'm totally stressed out. God, help me. Help me find peace. That's what Matthew 7 is about. That's what that's about. Help me find peace. Lord, I know you said in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, not to judge people hypocritically, but I judge people all the time. I judge people to make myself feel better about myself. You know, by the way, you'll never be as honest with anybody as you'll be with God if you'll just give him the time to do it. I judge people all the time. I want to make myself feel better by making them look bad, and I just am unwilling to look at myself first. Jesus said, that's what you need to be praying about. So look, you want to pray for a big old truck, you go right on ahead. What he's going to give you is an application for a job, which is also a gift from God and part of his plan. But this is talking about the content of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Things about your faith, things about, like Reagan said, the hearts of the people that you care about. So I want you to try this. Here's going to be what we're going to ask you to do, and we'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow night when we come in. We're going to talk about it. What you're going to do is, tonight, all you have to kind of do is fill in some of that stuff on the left side. But when you wake up tomorrow, you wake up tomorrow morning, you just turn the page to the next day, and you write Friday over there, and the date and the time, and you just fill in this left side. Write down some stuff that happened today, no big deal. Ask God some beautiful questions. Go big, bigger than big. If you think you've gone big, go a little bit bigger, a little bit bolder, a little bit deeper. And then all you have to do is part of the journal setup. So I'm going to show you the whole setup this weekend is, gotta get that book open. In fact, that's where I want to go with the last 15 minutes here. Look, if all we're saying is ask God and go big and then just go on about your life, it's going to fizzle out. You see, what makes this work is when you start seeing answers. And that's what the text said in Matthew 7. It said, you ask and you will receive. So I've got a question for you, and we'll see if we're on the same page here. I'm going to list for you three ways, very important, three ways that God answers beautiful questions. Remember, if we ask really limited questions, really worldly questions, really, he may just be like, nah, I'm going to wait till you really come to me. But when we really get there, there are three real life ways that he answers beautiful questions. Who thinks they know what they are? Three ways. One of them is hinted to you very heavily on the left side of that page. How many? No preachers are allowed to answer, Luther. One, the passages of Scripture. He answers you through the Word of God. But listen, you're like, well, we brought you in to tell us that. I mean, duh. Everybody knows that's the way communication works. You pray to God, you read the Word, you talk to Him, He talks to you. Well, I know a lot of people doing a really terrible job at both of those things. That's why I'm here. We got to do a better job at both those things. And here's one of the things we got to do. We have to start by asking the help me, mold me, change me, help them, make it better. Then you read the Word, except now, why are you reading the Word? If you've done this correctly, you started at the top and you move down to the bottom, why are you in the Word? Not to check some box. Hey, I got 19 Mark Roberts Bible reading programs under my refrigerator. Where you read a little while and I'm like, whoop, gone. I'm doing it differently this year. I'm going through this program. I'm making it, but it's different now. Because while I've poured out my heart to God and I've sometimes tearfully just begged Him for things, and then I go into my daily Bible read, why am I reading? Anybody? If I ask you 45 minutes ago, why do you read the Bible? Probably none of you would have said this. Now I'm hoping I can convince all of you to say it. Tomorrow morning, after you have prayed with your pencil, and that's what Beautiful Questions Box does. It allows you to pray with your pencil. It's perfectly paced. Why are you reading the Bible? I, say it. I am looking for answers. When's the last time you read the Bible looking for answers? Now, what you're going to say is, I don't know where to go to look for. If I knew where to go to get the answers to, should I be dating this person? Should I go to this school? Am I handling this right? Am I doing this the right way? How do I change? What does evangelism look like? If I knew where to go, I'd go there. I'm going to tell you to stop acting like you know how to do stuff and let God do His work. I've been doing this for 4 months on a standard New Testament Bible read. And countless times, I have prayed to God begging for something. Opened up John chapter 3 because that's what my read was supposed to be, and it's as if the answer was illuminated on the page. You got to trust God on this. Ask the questions, open the book expecting the answers. You know what you're going to do? Hopefully one of you going to text me in a couple weeks and go, dude, you're not going to believe this. I went big with God. I was like, God, I need to know how to do this. And it's like, boom, I'm in James 3 and it's right there. And what I'm going to tell you is, it was actually there all along. You just didn't notice it until you started asking questions. You see where we're going with this? Until we're ready to ask God questions, we're not even going to notice the answers when they come. But when you do, you will start to see in those sermons that are getting preached, you will start to hear things. It's like they wrote the whole thing to help you. That's what God does. I told you there are three things. So I want to talk about this. There are three very real ways that God answers beautiful, heartfelt, honest, and focused questions. One of them is the passages. Anybody know of another one? I kind of referenced it a little bit earlier when I was talking about you. What's the other one? There's two others. I'm looking at a bunch of them right now. We're going to alliterate here if that helps. Passages. Come on. How's God going to help you? You're praying for guidance, man. How old are you? 15. How's that working out? Got your permit? That's going to high school or you're going to be a sophomore? Be a sophomore. All right. Maybe you're struggling with something. You're praying to God tomorrow. Hey, look, not everybody's going to read your stuff out loud, okay? I only read you one of my pages. You get none else. Although some of you have summers, so feel free to publish that. But sometimes I write about things I'm really struggling with, like things that I'm sinning in that I got to fix, but I can't fix it. That's why I'm praying about it, because I can't fix it, and I'm begging for help. It is very likely that if you ask God to help you with something that you can't fix, He will send a person into your life. Friend, preacher, member, neighbor. And they will say something that you would have, follow me on this, you're not going to believe me, you're going to believe me. You would have totally ignored if you hadn't been asking. What you're going to find is God sends people in your life all the time. All these little conversations we have in the foyer before and after services, which, by the way, you know, down here in the southeast part, we still meet on the old Sunday nights. You know, we're still old hat that way around here. We do that. You guys still do that, right? Okay, good. You know what I love about Sunday nights at church? It's just kind of like us, you know? I mean, visitors are great. Sunday morning visitors are great. But you spend a lot of time meeting visitors. You don't really get to talk, you know? Sunday nights, we spend a ton of time talking. You know what? There's a lot of wisdom in this room, isn't there? A lot of good advice, a lot of help. You're going to hear it, and it's going to go away, and it's not going to help you if you're not asking God and looking into people's eyes knowing God sent them to be there for you. God sends people all the time. Countless biblical examples where people needed wisdom, and God sent someone. He sent a prophet to help them. He sent a guide to the blind. He sent John the Baptist to prepare hearts. He sent Jesus to save souls. He sent Paul into Gentile cities. He sent people. Cornelius loved God, wanted to be saved. God sent Peter to him. People are a tool of the Lord to answer your prayers. But you'll miss it. I missed it. Unless you're asking the questions. And then there's one more along the way here as we get to the end of this. When you talk about asking beautiful questions, which you're going to start, Lord willing, writing down, praying with your pencil, and then praying about it, there are three ways He can answer. One of them is when you read those verses, you're going to start to notice things. You're going to acknowledge people in your life. And what's the other word that starts with P that is just going on all the time? It's going on all the time. And you can go weeks or months without ever even saying this word. Without ever even thinking about it. But all of a sudden, you're going to start thinking about it a lot. What's that word? Starts with province, with idens. Did I syllabize that correctly? Providence. What is providence? You guys help me out with that. Providence. A beautiful East Coast town with old, colorful trees. Yeah, actually, yeah. What is providence in your life? It's kind of a hard word to describe, so I want to pick your brain a little bit. When I say, pray to God and experience His answers by providence, what are we talking about? Any guesses? What do you think, sir? I'm ready for you now. I've been holding you back. You're my closer. Okay, the way God acts in our lives, the way He puts things in our lives so that we can learn. Good. Give me some more. Providence. Yes? Okay. You know, I like how you said sometimes ways that we don't see. You know, the Word, you can see it. Like if you're reading your Bible in the morning, you're looking at the Word and you're reading. And that's a very direct way of God speaking to you. I mean, there are the words and there's you reading and here He is addressing something. Or people, if a person walks up to you and says, hey, I noticed you've been down lately. I'd just like to go sit down and talk. That is God answering your prayer just almost every single time. And it's very tangible. There's a person staring at you. But sometimes God works in ways that are a little less direct. It's just what? Circumstances. It's some opportunity that comes up that you weren't expecting. It's some new friendship maybe. It's something that you hadn't thought about before. It's a good idea. You don't even know where that idea came from. All of a sudden you're like, man, I think I should try to do that. And you wonder where it comes from. God works through providence all the time. He weaves things together. And you will not notice it. Except now, I'm going to tell you something really cool. You start asking big, big questions in the morning to God, and you're going to start noticing that it's almost like He's reshaped. This is crazy. It's almost like He's reshaped the whole setup of your life to pipe answers at you. And you're going to be like, what changed? And God's going to be like, I actually do this all the time. I actually like do it all the time. I weave circumstances and environments and interactions and opportunities into your life every day. But you didn't notice because you weren't asking me the questions. You're not going to notice answers unless you're asking. If there's a four laying on the floor, you're going to be like, that's weird. There's a four laying on the floor. You're just going to walk by that four. But if you're walking around going, okay, 2 plus 2, I know this. And then you look down and you're like, 4. The same 4, except it was the answer because you were asking. You know, sometimes it actually is kind of that ridiculously simple. I'm just going to tell you, I've been doing it a little while. It's kind of that simple. Simple question, what's God going to do? And just puts the number right in front of you. So I would put this up here as we close, I just want to leave you guys with it. But how will I see God's beautiful answers? You pray. You write those prayers. You spend that time with God. And then you just look around and you see what He does. And you acknowledge that, you do something with it, you pray and you ask, and every single day you read passages. You know, preachers have been telling us to study our Bibles every day forever. I mean, they're always telling us that. But the difference is, if you were seeking a meal, and you were seeking a meal, you'd make sure you found one every day. You seek God's guidance, and you're going to find the book every day. Because that's where your answer is going to start to come. And then pray and ask and just spend time talking with godly people. But remember this as we close. Remember this, our last couple of minutes. Remember the boy in Matthew 7. The boy in Matthew 7 didn't beg his father and ask him for it and get it and then just throw it in the garbage and walk off. He genuinely wanted answers so he could do something with that. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to open doors for you. Look at it, but be ready. We're going to talk about level 3 gratitude tomorrow night, level 3 gratitude, which is going to help a little bit. But be ready to do that. So I've got to ask you guys a question. You don't have to give an audible answer. My chances of interaction went way, way up just now. But who thinks that they can wake up tomorrow morning and just do this left side for 20 minutes or less? Who can do this? Who's going to do it? Oh, put your hands down. That was a terrible question. I feel awful about that question. Who will do this tomorrow before you get here? Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it? Yeah? Will you really? Raise your hand. Ah. I'm just kidding. You. Here's the thing. You don't have to have a journal like this to do this, but I'll tell you what you do have to do. You've got to pray every day, and you have to mean it, and you got to go big, and you have to start looking for what God wants to do in your life. And this is a jump start. Over here, this is going to get into more of the people and the providence. This is about the prayer and the passages. You need the prayer. You need the passages. You need it every day. Yes, sir. All over the world. It's a great observation. What he did there was he took the idea of what God can do and he found something emotional to him and he's going to lay it before the Father. That's the only place the answers can be found. A lot of the things we've seen recently, there's only one answer to those problems, and it's Jesus and his love. Hey, that's all the time that I have tonight. If you signed on to do that, give it a go. Tomorrow night, we're going to look at that Friday page on the right side. We're going to dig in with some gratitude discussion. So thank you guys for your attention.